Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. So what is Adam according to definition of Philon of Alexandria, the one who is wishing or has hope, and the one that is expecting for blessings? Berachot, bracha, bahir. Why expecting blessings if we cross the reference to Sefer Bahir? Blessing, brachot, or bracha, singular, starts with bet. The letter bet has the dot inside of it, and the dot inside the bet is infinite. So what is a blessing? A space of the finite hosting the infinite. So of course, in his description, what is Adam or who is Adam is the one who has hope for the infinite. He never counts the finite. And he expecting blessings. Berachot, beracha, because in the letter bet that starts the word berachot, blessings, there's a dot, infinite in the finite. This is the definition of Adam. So when the Bible says Ze Sefer Toldot Adam, this is the book, the generation of Adam, is what is Adam? It's not the whole population that populate the earth, but the one who has hope or living according to hope and expect blessings, the appearance of the infinite and the finite. This is the definition of Adam, and only about this lineage, so to speak, the Bible speaks. Any questions or comments, Fernando or Felipe, we shall be delighted.
Betty, yes. In this, there are many times in the Bible that it's mentioned the generations, eletoldot, yes. But this time it says about Sefer. It is different from another mention of generations, right?
Right. Excellent comment. It's a Sefer.
Why is it so?
Sefer has the same value as Shem, the gematria of the word. Good evening, Yanis. We're so happy to see you here. The value of Sefer, which is book in English, has the value of 340, like Shem, which is a name. Also, Sefer comes from Sapir, the gemstone, which is like illuminates. So why Ze Sefer Toldot Adam? This is the book, yes? Not just Toldot, generations. Because, as he mentioned before, how do we reckon this is Adam? According to the names that he is calling to the descendants. Yes, a name is a recognition. And he was describing the name Enosh. Shet was the third child of Adam and Eve. Shet is being called upon the verb shat. It means to give base, to ground a foundation. So his name is Shet. And from Shet came Enosh, and the verse says, "Az huchal likro b'shem Hashem." Then they began, yes, to call in the name of being. And he says, "What huchal is not just beginning from tochelet, from tikva. There is hope. There is hope. So according to the naming, according to the calling, yes." And what is a book? A book, in a way, is registrations of names. And according to the names, there's every name is a calling. Yes? So, as we mentioned before, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam, the one who has hope, the one who is expecting blessing. Therefore, there is like a book. Yes, because what is a book? It's a collection of words, collection of names. Because once there is like a few letters coming together, we are reading or we are calling. This is the book of hope, the book of life. Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. Because if we really pay attention, the first two children or the first two twins, their names do not express so much hope. What is Cain? Kaniti, upon the verb I bought, to buy. This is a transaction. What is Hevel? Steam, like nothing, vapor, mist. Just this is buying and this is completely mist. This is completely transaction activity in the world, self-doer, and completely the other one is abstract, and one is cancelling the other. Cain kills Abel, mist. Can you kill a mist? Can you kill a steam? If you lift a sword or a stone and throw, yes, a stone or sword and a steam, can you take it? Can you kill it? Can you separate it? Can you torture the air? Can you? This is the question. And came the third son. Shit. So from two extremities, which is Cain and Abel, because Abel, so to speak, is gone. So Cain is like gracefully left for seven generations. But this is what time is. Seven generation is time. This, how do you say? Seven generations is like 7 years, is like 7 days, is the whole matrix of manifestation, space and time. So the whole lineage of Cain is living, but seven generation and then cease to exist. And how does Cain is being dismissed from this life? Do you remember in which way he was dismissed? There's a lore and there's another one that the Bible describes. He was mistaken to be an animal and was shot by an arrow, like a mistaken arrow. He was taken to be an animal. And he was shot in a way without intention to kill him, just innocently was shot from someone who could not distinguish animal to human. And this is what happens to us, so to speak, if we take in space and time as real. So, yeah, Cain lives, but what kind of a life he lives? Of an animal. And he was mistaken to be considered as animal, as and he is being shot as animal. Life of Cain is ending, so to speak, by a mistaken arrow, by a mistaken bow, and the animal ceased to exist. Yes. Yes, Adam lives, yes, that's correct. That's correct. According to one lore, also Cain died in a very interesting way. He was the first man to build cities. Cain was the first builder. And he built all of his life. He built and he built and he built from city to city from and on. Until one day he was sitting in his house Yes, and a brick just released from the wall and just dropped above his head and killed him, like innocently. This is also an interesting midrash or lore, because there was no intention, there was no, so to speak, a killer. Nobody stood next to the door, bring it to our times with a gun, yes, or putting poison intentionally in his food. It just, he was sitting in his home after a long day of work in building, and suddenly a brick felt released from the wall and fell and dropped on his head, and he died innocently from a stone. What is a stone, Evan? Space and time. From the matrix. One stone from the matrix fell and Cain died. So Shed is the third son, supposed to be also not the average, but the middle line. Not the two extremes, but the middle line. And from Shet, there's Enoshut, humanity. Enoshut, we say humanity, after following the name of Enosh. Shet has a descendant, so to speak, and this descendant is being named Enosh. The Bible says, as huchal likro b'shem Hashem, then it will start the, it's like, how do you say, passive voice, starting, or was started, to calling in the name of being. This is hope. And this is quite interesting, because after Cain killed Abel, and there is an echo of murdering, because the two names, if we look into it, both names, Cain and Abel, there's completely ignorance, the being. Questions so far? The question is also another question. Can a man kill a man? Can a man kill another man? Is it possible? A question. Yes, another right. Yes. It's impossible. When in the Ten Commandments it is said, you shall not kill, lo tirzach, it's just impossible to do it. Any questions? According to Philon, Adam was named by this name because he has the whole range of good, how do you say, attributes. This is why he was named Adam, because of his relation to hope and wishing for blessings. So Adam, he doesn't say this, but what is Adam? Adam, the one which is not blooded. Yes, because dam is blood, and the blood cells, they multiply once there's, how do you say, the moment of the, when the egg meets the sperm, there's a distribution of cells. So what is Adam? Cannot be multiplied. This is a completely different reading of Adam. What we learn to track since early childhood is we are the ones who are identified with a body, with a name, with few details. And this is what cross-reference our identities. And if someone say a word about this name or about this story, we feel attacked and we feel a need to protect, but it's not real. Yes, and if someone says something about somebody else's behavior, there's a need to, how do you say, to apologize. There is no need to apologize. Let's read, continue the reading. Unless, Yanis, do you have any question that you would like to ask? We shall be delighted. Fernando, Felipe as well, if you want to say something, you're most welcome. Well, if we are reading at page 79, this is a continuity from the last reading. Well, if we shall calculate from the first, the man that came from the earth, and there is a foot, there is a little letters saying about Mark 17, Philon distinguish between two Adams. Adam, the idea, the intelligent, the one that learns. Yes? Again, Philon distinguish between two kinds of Adam. Ha-Adam ha-idea, the man or the human, the ideal. And Muskal, the one who learns, the one who has the ability to contemplate. Ve-Adam yelod ha-Adama, and the man that was coming from the earth, Hagashmi, the physical. And he gives here a footnote, 134. Yes. So let's read again. This is why there's a footnote here. But if we shall calculate from the first, the one, now he makes an observation, calculate from the first, which first that comes from the earth, we shall find the one who is being called by the Hebrews Enosh. He says Halkedin, and the translation here to Hebrew says that in the language of Philon, he called the Hebrews Halkedin because this is the source place from which Abram the Hebrew came. So again, but if we shall calculate from the first, the one that came from the earth, the child of the earth, we shall find whom is being called by the Hebrew Enosh. And in the language Tan, Adam in the fourth place. There's another footnote here, 19. Enosh, the first son of Shet, he is the third generation from Adam Rishon. And if we shall count the singles, he is the fifth. Because Cain and Hevel were before Shet. Do we understand the counting? Yanis, Felipe, Fernando, do we understand the counting? Great. But from the words of Philon, in the questions of Genesis 1:81 and so, we should not count Cain, There's a beautiful video once we made about the descendants of Adam, the 26 generations from Adam to Moshe, from Adam to Moses, and in this counting of the 26 generations from Adam to Moses, Cain does not appear in this lineage. I can repost the video. So Philon says the same. But from the words of Philon in the questions of Genesis 1, 81 and so, he says we should not take into consideration Cain. And so passes Enosh to the fourth place. Yeah? So how does it go? Let's read again. But if we shall calculate from the first, the one who came from the earth. And here we have Mark 17. There is Adam, the human, the ideal man that has the capability of contemplating and listening. And there's the man of the earth, so to speak. We shall find who is being called by the Hebrew Enosh. And in the language of the Greek, Adam, in the fourth place. So, how does Philon count? How does Philon count? There's Adam, one. And there's Cain and Abel. And there's a three. Adam, Cain, Hevel. And there's a Shet. He's the fourth. And there's Enosh. He is the fifth. Enosh is the fifth. But he does not count Cain. So we only left with four. And between the numbers, the number four gains a lot of respect among the other philosophers. Now there's a footnote 20. The intention is for Pythagoras and his students that they inquire and research the attributes of numbers. That they were teaching the unmanifested beings, the educated, and specifically within Moses, the most complete in wisdom, that brings upon, like a flag, the number four and says that it is holy and worthy fame. And there's a footnote here, 21. According to Leviticus 19:24, ובשנה הרביעית יהיה כל פריו קודש הילולים להשם. It speaks about the fruit of the tree. Yes? And in the fourth year, all of its fruit will be holy for the being, to praise the being. Because in this chapter, in Leviticus, there's Moses opens and say, okay, you have planted a tree, and the tree is supposed to bring fruit, and so on. But there's the first year of the tree, second, third, and fourth. When we count 4 years of the tree, when he gives the fruit, its fruit on the fourth year, this fourth year, all the fruit that comes from the tree, it is holy for the being. Meaning, and this is to praise the Lord of manifest, being manifesting the fruit of the tree. It's not for human to eat. So Philon learns that the number four is holy according to Moses, because This is what appears in Leviticus relating to the tree. And again, as he told us before, what is the law? The law is nature. And how can we learn the law? From looking at nature. So yes, sometimes the tree brings fruit first, second, third, fourth, but the fourth year is holy. Nobody eats the fruit of the tree. There's respect for nature. Yes, there is a respect for nature. Excellent. What does it mean that there is a respect for nature? Like, yes, also just to give you an example from the last legislation here in the area, people used to fish whenever they like. Take the boat, some of them really professional fishermen, some of them like amateurs, fish whenever they like. And a few months ago, a year ago, came the law of fishing. What does it mean? There's a limitation of fishing, meaning you cannot fish whenever you like. And you cannot fish any kind of fish that you like in any measure that you like. Yes, of course, the restaurant would like to have a good fish, 30 centimeters, that fits the plate. You can serve it to the diners. They will pay a lot for it because it's the dimension, diameter of the plate, the greatest plate. But the law of nature says, and look how it resonates, you cannot fish whenever you like. If the fish, you can only fish at certain seasons, at certain weeks of the year. And if a fish comes into your net, which is not arriving to certain centimeters, X centimeters, you have to return it to the sea. Why? Because it's not growing enough, old enough to make offsprings. So you have to return it to the sea until it will be like Fernando and Felipe, sabia. Yes, they're younger fish. Don't take the younger fish because there's not a new generation coming after. So the law says if it's under certain centimeters, it means the fish are not fully grown. There is no next generation. So the law says if you got them by chance, you have to return the fish to the ocean. And at the beginning, the local fishermen, they were very angry at this law. Hey, you want to kill our income? How shall we provide to our families? Anyways, fishermen are very poor. Now you're going to cut the source of our income. How dare you come with such a law? So they were very angry. But after a few seasons, they noticed that suddenly a fish that they did not see here for decades, the name of the fish is locus. Yes, this is the name of the fish, locus. Suddenly they see the fish. After decades, they did not see the fish in the waters of the Mediterranean in this place. Why? Because they let him space to bring offsprings. Listen to nature. Why do we bring the story about the fishermen? It's the same story about the tree. Yes, the tree in nature is capable of bringing the first year, the second, the third, and the fourth fruit, but you count until the fourth year, and the fourth year when the tree brings the fruit, it is completely holy. Holy, please, in English it says holy, kodesh, kodesh in Hebrew, holy in English, kodesh hilulim. Hilulim sounds like holy, yes, but what is Kodesh Hilulim from Hallel? Hallel, praise. It is holy to praise divinity. It's not for men to consume. Like they let the fish arrive to certain centimeters and bring offspring through it, and then there's enough fishes to guarantee the continuity of the species. Not every comes, oh, I'm a fisherman, I will bring you something from... No. There, it comes from contemplation in nature. Respect to nature. Nature is very silent. If there's a fish is being taken from the ocean, nobody will notice, so to speak. The fish is also does not speak. While being under the water, it doesn't speak. But you see the depth. And the causes for it, and he continues. So he quotes the verse from Leviticus, and he says, and the reasons for this are being told in our previous essay. And there's a footnote here, what is the previous essay? He wrote an essay about the creation, and there, few of the attributes of the number four are mentioned according to the Pythagorean school. This is a footnote. So the fruit of the fourth year is holy, kadosh, vegam ra'ui letehila, is also holy and worthy praising. It is the owner of hope, or the master of hope. Kadosh, he says, kadosh, holy, vegam ra'ui letehila, and also worthy praying. Hu ba'al hatikva, is a hope master. And against it, he brings another concept. And against it is the one who is guilt or feel guilty and worthy to contempt, is the one who has no hope and behaves in all circumstances in fear. His bad counselor. So what is fear, according to Philon? Bad counselor, opposite to the Messiah. You remember, there's an opposite verse. So, and against the fruit which is holy and worthy for praise, he is the one who has hope, or the master of hope. And against it, the one that feels guilt and worthy for contempt is also the one who lacks hope, which behaves in all circumstances in fear, his bad counselor. You see, the master of hope is holy. The one who behaves in fear under the guidance of bad counselor. This against that. They say that there aren't too many things which are hostile to each other, like hope and fear the hope, and it is true, because this and that is expectation. People either expect hope or expect fear. But the first is the expectation for good, and the second is for bad news. And in the essence of being, they are incomprehensible. And another word here, which I cannot immediately translate, bilti mitpashrim, Vilti mitpaisi. You cannot make compromise. Those two are opposite each other, the hope and the fear. So if you take a coin, and the coin has two sides, one side of the coin is hope, and the other one is fear. And those elements will always oppose each other. And in those words, we said enough about the hope that it, the nature, post as the guarding of the gates of the kingdom, the good attributes that are inside, that to them we could not access if we shall not take care of before, if we shall not take care of before our relationship with it. And many legislators are making a lot of effort. Many laws are making a lot of effort any place to blow in the free souls' good hopes. But this one who is becoming the master of hope without, how do you say, tochacha, without proof and without being commanded, was educated to a good attribute through the law or unwritten law, which is being told by itself, that nature has determined it. It says here that it's not the first time that Philon used the word nature, Teva, and instead of using God, Elohim. Yes, in Hebrew it's almost the same word, HaTeva, the nature. Yes, the nature has the same numerical value as Elohim, as God, as the manifested. Questions so far? Yes, Felipe.
Deva equals Elohim. Is that correct?
Yes, Hateva. Yes, one second. Hateva. I'll write it. Hateva. I think one Hateva. Hateva, the nature. Let's calculate it if you want. One second. Hateva. Yeah, Hateva. Yes. Yes. What? What you say, Felipe? 86. Hateva is 86. Hateva, the nature. Yes. And Elohim, the five letters, is also 86 manifested. Yes.
Oh, that's beautiful. I was thinking about the Ben Elohim. Mm-hmm. We could substitute for Betzelen Hateva.
Yes, like you, instead of writing or saying Betzelem Elohim, you say Betzelem Hateva in the image of the nature. Yes, it's a great, it's very great reading. I agree. Yes. So he learns a lot, Philon, just from looking at nature and see how nature behaves. And there's a lot of respect to nature because nature is the, in a way, shows us the law or how things are. Any questions, Fernando, Yanis, or Felipe? Would you like to say yes, Felipe?
No, just when you asked before it, if one man could kill another man, it seems to me that it can only, in a way, disconnect the dam from the Aleph, that you cannot extinguish the Aleph, never.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. The Aleph is the background of which all the manifested appears on. Therefore, so there's a disappearance, but it's impossible to take life. It is impossible. Therefore, they say every time in the Bible, there is like negation. You shall not do that. Thou, you shall not. Not that there is like punishment. It's just impossible to do because we are not the doers. It's very simple. We are not the doers. If a thought or sensation or a feeling does not stream through someone, and sometimes there's action followed up after the thought or while thought is running, nothing could really happen. So how things are happening? Someone needs to go to the supermarket. Okay, how does he know that he has to go? Opens the cabinet, the fridge, it's a bit empty, let's go and bring a few things. So there's a thought, there's like being followed by a sense, and then there's like action. But without the thought or the thinking which is streaming through this vehicle, nothing could have happened. And sometimes we go in life with a lot of regrets or mistakes. We always think that we have done something very wrong and very deeply mistaken. But it's not true. This is all the time the signals that the brain is telling us all the time to prove us that we are mistaken. Because in this way, we can be slaves of the brain. Yes, so the brain will always weave a court case against us. You are wrong, you should have done this before or after. You should have done this in this way. And like if we are in charge of the conditions or the circumstances, the things are happening, nobody has any control or in charge of the circumstances. Things are happening through us without our consent. Just ask yourself this simple question. If somebody asked you if you would like to be born, so to speak, nobody's being born, but let's speak from this angle that we were told that we were born. Did someone ask you, when would you like to be born? To which parents? To which surrounding? To which influence? Were you asked? Felipe? Fernando? Yanis, did someone ask you, would you like to be born here, this continent, in this climate? Would you like to be born to this cultural surrounding, influence? Did someone ask you? Ah, you can't remember very well. Good. There's a beautiful lore that appears in the book of Zohar that says something very, very interesting. There is a drop, yes, before there is a birth. Yes, here, appearance of a body, there's a birth, a potential in the sky. They call it a drop. And like we could say a drop of manifestation and so. And the Holy Bliss, he comes to the drop and says to the drop, here, little drop, you're going to go to the world of the manifestation. Without even telling the destination, just the fact that the drop is like being in a way separated. What is to drop? We say to drop this case, to like separation. What is a drop? It's separated from the whole. So the Holy Bliss, he comes to the drop and says, hey, dear drop, you're going to go to the manifested world. And doesn't even tell where. What is the destination? Just the fact that the drop has to be separated. And the drop is very upset and she doesn't want to go. The drop doesn't want to go to a destination in the manifestation. And the Holy Bliss, he comforts the drop and says to her one verse from Song of Songs, Iti Milvanon Kala. With me from Lebanon. Lebanon is the temple from Lavan, from which is not yet manifested, the source. Iti Milvanon Kala. With me from Lebanon, from the temple, from the source, from the infinite, you are descending. You are not descending alone. You are with me. I'm with you. Because the drop does not want to leave the source, wants to feel separated. So he tells her, with me, you're not descending alone to the manifestation. I'm with you. Because there's a sense of separation. Once there's appearance of a body, there's a sense of separation. And the Holy Bless, he says, Iti Milvanon Kala, with me from Lebanon, you are my bride, in other words. You are the drop, you are not a separated entity. You are my bride, meaning you are me. Oh, not me, but yeah, doesn't have an entity. Yes, but Iti, you are with me. The foundation, Iti, the Yesod. Yes, the foundation, you are with me. You are never separated. You will have a sense of separation, but you're always with me. You are. Once there's appearance of a body, there's illusion of a cut. And the Holy Bless, he already says to the drops, Iti Milvanon Kala, with me from Lebanon, from the source, you are my bride. And as my bride, I will not send you like to loneliness or so. You are with me. It's time to go. This is a great Lord that says, in a way, hey, look, if we, nobody asked us. Felipe does not remember. I also don't remember that I was asked if I would like to go somewhere. And it just happens. But the baby appears here in a body, and there's a name to the body and relatives around it and telling him that this is it, and this is it, and this is how life is, and this is how Christmas is being celebrated under those conditions. And here they're telling him this, you are born to this family and those are the holidays and this is the law, so to speak. And yes, interesting. So the body always will, or the brain will always give us a sense of separated entities. This is why the drop is rejecting. She doesn't want to go to the manifestation. But as Felipe says, all of us are the Aleph. Taking or believing that we are this body that has hands and feet, or the fact that we learn to associate ourselves with this body, with this story, with this, this is an illusion. And one day this illusion will fade away too. There is no need to cleave to this illusion. Questions, Felipe, Fernando, Yanis? Thank you, Fernando. Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you so much. We would like to wish you a very good year, a beautiful year. Infinite love, and we hope to see you here on Saturday. Thank you so much. All the best, and see you soon. Toda and shalom. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube. Chan. Shalom, v'chol tov.